Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
So we have been on this series called How to Live Unselfied in a Selfie World. And Pastor Mike shared on that idea of like we have to quiet that selfish little dictator inside of us and make him obedient. And we've talked about Lent and how observing Lent is something that the church at large has done for centuries. And it's a time of preparation, a time of getting ready for a big celebration. Kind of like when, you know, Thanksgiving dinner is at 4 o'clock and you're like, I'm totally not eating lunch because I want to be ready to really enjoy this meal. So just, and that's kind of Lent. It's like we're denying ourselves some things so that we can focus and be ready for what is to come. And the celebration is Easter. Easter is huge. If you are a follower of Jesus in the Christian church, Easter is like our thing. It is like our day because not only was Jesus present with us and walked on the planet with us, but that's when we celebrate that he actually went to the cross, died a sinner's death for us, took the weight of the world and took it down in the grave, and then he rose again. That's the epic moment where we know that now we can experience new life. Something new has started. When Jesus came, God's kingdom came. And so now things can be different. Our reality can be different. And that's really what even this encouragement I have for you this morning is, realizing that something has changed and that God is present with us. And I did want to encourage you. I know we've mentioned lots before, but Next Steps, we have a 4-part class, and this is for everyone. So even if you've been here for a long time and you haven't taken it, or if you're new and you're like, what is that? It's a 4-part class, and it just basically gives you a basis of who we are as a church and what your part is in the story of this bigger story. And hey, Jacqueline, you're here. What are you doing here? Sorry, she's usually in Edmonton. It's great. Anyway, and then we have track 301 and 401, and it teaches you how we can contribute a bit about who you are, and they're awesome classes. I encourage you to take part so that, you know, as a church even, we can be on the same track together. So Jesus was the most unselfish person who ever walked on the planet. And as Jesus' followers, we are called to be like him. So we're called to live unselfied in a selfish world. Well, how, might you ask? That is difficult. And this question of, so how do I get over myself to actually love others? How can I actually do this in my own human nature? Because it is not natural. But God actually designed us to function best when we are thinking of others. This doesn't mean that you totally forget about yourself, no. But God has created and designed us to serve and love others. I listen to audio CDs, books on CD. You know, CDs like those shiny things, if you guys, yeah, maybe, you know, but they reflect the sun. They're really, yeah. You put them in to, like, in my vehicle, I have a CD player, so I put them in, and that's how I listen to audiobooks. And I love it because then I don't dread driving because I'm just like, ooh, I get to learn something today as I'm driving. And for like 5 years, I couldn't listen to anything because my phone is too new and my vehicle's too old, so they don't talk to each other. You know, they don't have this Bluetooth, whatever, or even the cord. The cord doesn't even work to connect them. So I'm stuck with audio CDs. And my mother, bless her soul, was able to dig out the loony that was in there for 5 years that the auto shop people could not get out, but my mother with a butter knife got that sucker out. So now I can be learning as I drive. It's so great. And right now, I've been doing lots of study on habits because I believe that habits, you know, what we do consistently is truly how we turn out. What I'm doing every day, what I'm doing behind the scenes, that's actually what builds character and creates a future that I actually am proud of. Yeah. So I've been studying on habits, and this gentleman was teaching about how to build neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is your brain's ability to be elastic, to be flexible, to be able to build new neural pathways, to be able to build new habits, and so that you can actually change the way you're living on a day-to-day basis. And so I'm like, right on, I want better neuroplasticity. And so he was telling about how, you know, puzzles or games or things that kind of strengthen your brain that causes you to think, or learning a new instrument or a new language, all these things build neuroplasticity. And so when I hear something or read something, I'm like, I got to do that. I should do that. So I'm planning my trip to the store to get, you know, a harder crossword puzzle, because I totally do the easy ones. They're so hard. Yeah, I think maybe I'm just not that smart. But on the CD was telling me this. So I was like, I was going to go do this. And then at a safe moment at the traffic light when it was red, I switched CDs, because that's the one dangerous part about doing it on audio CD is you have to like physically take it out and, you know, and put it in. And so at the beginning of the next disc, I was so encouraged, because it said another way to build neuroplasticity was to passionately serve others. I was like, oh, that's so good. I can do that. I don't need to get any more puzzles. I don't need to learn a language. I can just serve others. Being passionate about serving others actually rewires things in your brain so that it actually gets stronger. You can build new neural pathways, because, funnily enough, God knew what he was talking about when he was like, you know, consider others above yourself, and, you know, use words that are useful for building others up, you know, serve others. Jesus talks about this a lot in the Bible, and it's like he knew we wanted and needed strong brains to do this life. So he said, serve, and it's scientifically proven. Another point for the big man. So when we think outside of ourselves, it actually builds our brain. Now, in our selfie world, this is not the norm. This is unusual, actually. This is living countercultural, I would say. I mean, even the whole idea that taking a selfie, that is a picture of you. It's like, it's me, the good side, right? However you do it to the lips, is that? Like duck lips, whatever. Anyway. But you take a picture of yourself, and so that is the focus of the selfie. And then they invented the selfie stick. Actually, a gentleman, a Canadian inventor in 2005, he invented the selfie stick, which extends the arm beyond its able reach. And now you have a perspective that is beyond just you. It's like this larger perspective. So you can actually take a photo of yourself on that mountain. You can see the landscape. You can gather some people around you and take a picture of the whole gang. Of course, you are still the focal point. And if you keep focusing on your, because you're worried about yourself looking good, right? Right. Yeah. It's like, I got to look good in this photo on top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And so you back up a little too far and you become part of the statistic of 259 deaths that are directly related to the selfie stick in the last 6 years. It's insane. I mean, people are climbing buildings to get a good shot too. We got to take that into consideration. But we have to realize that when we are focusing on just behind us with ourselves at the focal point, we might just lose balance and end up being part of the statistics. We were not meant to be the focal point of the universe. So how can I turn that lens around? How can I look straight ahead to actually see who's right in front of me? Like putting the phone in the pocket when you're crossing the crosswalk. It's a good idea. It's a safe thing to do. Even walking down the mall, it's like, has anybody ever bumped into someone because they were on their phone? I definitely have. And it's like, you know, sometimes we just need to walk to see and actually see who's right in front of us. So this morning, we're going to focus in on relationships. I love talking about relationships and the idea that, hey, we need all these faces to engage and be together. And relationships, as we know, have drastically changed. Wouldn't you say? In the last, like, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, relationships are unbelievably different. People have 328 on average friends online, yet they have maybe two close friends. In North America, it's like 25% of people say they don't have close friends, where they actually feel connected. Psychologists are calling our condition in the 21st century deferred loneliness. So loneliness is often defined in terms of one's connectedness to others, or more specifically, as the unpleasant experience that occurs when a person's network of social relations is deficient in an important way. So we feel connected, like we are connected. People tell us we're connected, but we're not actually, we're realizing there's a deficiency, an important deficiency in some way, because God has designed us for relationship. When the sum total of our connectedness is online, we miss what He wants for us. Have you ever heard the term intimacy? Into me see, the definition that says, you know, to know me and to love me anyways, because we all have that anyways stuff in there. Intimacy relies on safety, patience, mutuality, respect, constancy, and no secrets. Without healthy self-disclosure at the right time, there can be no intimacy, is what one psychologist says. Through vulnerability, through actually trying to understand someone, and by being understood, we build intimacy. But we have often replaced face-to-face conversations with connections. We have connections, but not conversations. And how important it is to have real face-to-face communication. Now, obviously, this is not a message to bash technology. I really think it's awesome. There are so many great things that we have because of technology. I love how it supplements relationships and friendships. I love how it's like I can take a picture of, remember going to this place together, or I'm just going by your house, or where we were together, and sending it to someone who's across the ocean, and you feel, you know, you build that relationship. And so I love that part of technology. But again, if that's the sum total of our connections, we are straying away from God's original design and His best for us. Something hit me when I was preparing for this message. Did you know that God knew we would have the internet? Yes. It's for all time. It was crazy. So when He's saying, like, let no unwholesome talk come from your lips, flee from sexual immorality, it's like that is applied to your online life. Like, apply it all, because it all, you know, it's through every thread of your life. And Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our commenting on each other's posts. Oh yeah, those are worth a like, definitely. No, that's not what it says. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. We're gathered together here on a Sunday morning, and it was more convenient to stay in your PJs and grab a bowl of popcorn or whatever you like and just watch a message online, or just go about your day. But God knew that. He knew you would have the internet. Like, He knew there was going to be an option. Maybe that's why He said, you know, don't give it up. Don't give up meeting together, because God knew that the face-to-face interactions, the shoulder-to-shoulder interactions, were His best, His design, where it would benefit our mind and our bodies in the best way if we engage with others. Don't neglect meeting together. Say to your neighbor, I'm glad we're sharing the same air today. Yes, it is so good. And obviously we need alone time, and we need time apart. We need time to think and to be kind of like, you know what we need. But there's also this side where it's like, if you go to like the internet to find out what's wrong with your baby toe, and all of a sudden it's, I'm gonna die, right? Like, that's basically where it ends up. There's this spiral that takes you straight down. And so it's important for us to actually talk with people and say, am I crazy here? Oh yeah, you're on the crazy train right now. You need to get off and come for coffee. Like, that's just sometimes what needs to happen. When you're alone too long, I don't know. If I'm alone with my thoughts too long, it's like, I need to get out. Yes. Today, I would love to give you one word that I believe if you remember it, I hope that it will remind you of even just this principle of what we talked about today. And the word is presence. Present. Even brought a visual. Present. So it's like burned in your mind. Oh yeah, that really weird looking thing. It's a present. It's beautiful. Oh yes, I actually put something in it, but I preached this message. This is the third time, so I couldn't give it away every time unless I had three, and I didn't have three. So at the end of this message, who's ever being really good and responsive gets to go home with this gift. There's something in there. You're gonna love it. Okay. The present of presence is what I want you to burn in your mind. And in this gift, if it was wrapped even with like 100 layers of gorilla tape and duct tape, but yet I told you that inside was the rarest and costliest of diamonds, inside the present, what would you do to get into that gift? Anything. Yes, stab it. You axe it. If you knew it was a diamond, it wouldn't break. Would it? Yeah. You just get in there. It would be worth your effort because you knew the value that was inside it. And that is the same with Jesus. He says, seek me and you will find me. Seek first my kingdom and you'll have everything you need. But we need to press in. We need to show up. We need to be here. We need to be in his presence to be able to receive that gift and the power that he has to give us. In the Bible, the word presence is actually literally translated face, which blew my mind because it's like face-to-face interaction with people is so important. And it's like God, when his presence was with people, he was facing them. He was face-to-face. And when Jesus came, he changed everything so that now, like if you've ever read the story of when Jesus rose again and or before he rose again and the curtain was torn in two, that means there's no longer a barrier between us and God's presence. It's not like Old Testament, I got to do this, say this, shake this three times and run in six circles and now I can get into his presence. No, you show up, his presence is here. The Spirit of God is here and he can dwell in each of us when we open our lives to him. So how do we get into his presence? We worship. Worship brings us face to face with God. We pray. We talk to him. We get to know him. We read his word. His word is living, it says, which means that it's alive. And when we get to know who he is, we get to know his face and what he is all about. When a baby is born, we hold them in our arms and we lock into their face. And we start interacting with them. It's like, oh, hello, hello, oh, yes, yes, yes. And we do things that would be awkward to do from a stage, but we do it anyway to get a point across. But the reason we do that to a baby is because we are training them in joy. We are training them to actually reflect our emotion, to reflect our face, to actually learn from us. And it hit me. I can't remember the exact words in the song where the maker holds you in his hands. Anyway, if one of you remember. But in that song where it's just like, the God of the universe holds you in his hands and he wants to look upon you as you look on his face. He wants to get into you so that you can reflect his likeness to others, so that you can reflect him. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made known to me the paths of life. He reveals stuff to you when you get into his presence. You fill me with joy in your presence. No wonder people can't reflect joy or have joy because they haven't got face to face with the joy giver and the joy bringer. We need his presence and he loves to lavish it on us. Ezekiel 3:29-29 says, I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. Like I said, when Jesus came, his spirit is here. Therefore, we can get into his presence anytime, all the time, face to face. So what does being in his presence have to do with my relationships? What does it have to do with me loving others or being engaged and present with others? Well, truly, he shows us how to be present. When he gives us the gift of his presence, we no longer know what it's like to be loved and known for who we are and still accepted. So therefore, it's like, oh, I want to be present with others. I want them to know this presence that I carry so desperately. We can train ourselves to be fully present, to live 100% in the present moment. And it begins with cultivating attitudes of reverence, remembering that every person has intrinsic value and is therefore worthy of our full attention. That's Christina Crook in The Joy of Missing Out, her book. You know, when we get into God's presence, when we actually learn from him, we start to see people the way that God sees people. We start to see that intrinsic value. We start to see that when a person comes in and they're difficult to deal with, it's like, man, I'm just going to keep staring at you until I see it. I'm going to keep praying for you until I see it. And their value starts to come out when you're, again, reflecting God's likeness. You'll begin to see what he sees. You'll begin to see what heaven sees. You'll begin to feel what heaven feels because his kingdom has come. His reality is here and now. So therefore, we can actually bring that where we go. That's how God designed it. And when he came, that's what happened. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, which means I can be a little bit weird about, you know, this is who I am, and you can be the way you are. And we can actually love and value and celebrate each other because we are free. There is freedom because the Spirit of the Lord is here. So I don't need to worry about not being right. It's like, you know what? God created me this way, and I am just going to walk in his fullness, in his spirit, in his life to bring value wherever I am. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Be present. Bring this present of your presence and give it to someone. And it's like, they will appreciate your presence. And you know what makes your presence so invaluable? Is when you're filled with his presence. When you are filled with his presence, invaluable. Is that the word? It's the invaluable presence. Like it has no, you couldn't put a number to it. But when it dwells in you, you are able to be present with others. Moments matter. Moments are important. And when it comes to even technology, when you have your friends over and everybody's sitting around texting each other, or people who are not in the room, let's just be present with each other. And we don't want to be part of the statistic of like 1 in 10 people who are in this study who said they actually use their phone during sex. Like, that's just not acceptable. If you need to text your partner who's beside you and ask them if they're in the mood, you guys need to work on your communication. You need to get some face-to-face time, belly button to belly button, as Craig Rochelle says, and be able to connect. Life consists only of moments, nothing more than that. So if you make the moment matter, it all matters. That's what Ellen Langer said. I love that quote. And I was telling you, I have an older vehicle. I have a van. And so I can graffiti it if I want to. And until my husband gets a new one, he's talking to Tony this week, I'm like, no, I can't graffiti the van. But on my steering wheel, I wrote, "This is my moment." In pen, where I can see it, is glossy pen. And it's like, this is my moment, because it reminds me that this season of life is here and then it's gone. Driving my kids around, the one-on-one moments I have with my children, being able to drive and go places to pray with people, to take people meals, to be able to meet people. This is my moment. And if this moment matters, if my presence matters, then I'm going to hold on to it and make the most of it. You know, when you're on, or when I am, you know, this is, of course, whenever you preach, you just preach to yourself. But when you're on Pinterest and you're trying to find, like, all the greatest meal ever for your family, right? It's like I'm searching it up. Or it's like I'm on Amazon and I'm trying to find some new clothes, like for the kids, of course. Or if I'm on Instagram and I'm just, like, trying to find some really cool photos, because I want to have the most epic family photo this year. Because that matters, is building our family. And you have your six-year-old wrapped around your leg who's just like, Mom, come see this. Come see this. And you're just like, honey, I'm, you know, like trying to help the family here. Right? And the truth is, what does that kid need? He just needs your eyes. He just needs your face. He needs you to engage and be present and put value on him. And that goes for the people that you see as you walk or don't see as you're walking. They are all valuable. You give a gift of your presence when you are engaged and you're aware of what's actually happening around you. John 3:18, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. You know, put your money where your mouth is. Let me see that in real life. I want to see how you love. And this is so attractive to others. You know, in the Bible, it talks about, like Jesus said, people will know you are my disciples by how you love each other. So we believe that even this community, who we are as God's church, that we would love one another in such a way that it would be countercultural. You know, that we, when we're sitting in this room, when we're visiting in the foyer, even that we're engaging with people face to face because we are showing value. And yes, it's very common if you're standing in a line at the bank or wherever, people don't even look around. It's like everybody's on their phones, and it's like we can live counter-culturally. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, in which he fills everything with his presence. So we have the presence of his spirit with us, and where we go, we bring his presence. We bring his value to others. And as we give this present of our presence to others, we truly are operating in how God has called us to live in such a way to value others. And this morning, this afternoon, we are going to pray together because I really believe, you know, I've been on this journey of following Jesus for a long time, and some of you, it's been, you know, a month, a year, a week, 10 years, 35 years, whatever it is for you. At every point in the journey, we need a refreshing and a filling of his spirit to remind us that it's like, you know what? I need your presence. I need that presence which brings power for me to love and accept others, to love and accept myself, to be able to operate in God's good plan for my life. We need to know his presence. And so this morning, we are just going to pray together. I'm going to pray over you and with you, and just for a fresh flooding of God's presence in our lives to be able to equip us, even as we walk out of these doors, to be ready for what God has called us to and prepared us for. So if you want to just bow your head, you can just stay seated, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray because God loves to hear his kids. He loves when we gather together. He loves when we unite our faith, when we agree together that he's going to do something. So just open yourself to God's presence right now as I pray. And Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that your spirit is here, that your presence never leaves us, God. God, where we feel distant, it is not you. You are right there. You are right there holding us in your hands and just equipping and readying us for what you have prepared for us. If we would just open our eyes and lean in and look to you, God, for everything that we need, to seek you above all else, God, because then everything else just makes sense when we can see the way you see, when we can see others the way you see them. God, help us to look at others in a different way this week. Help us to see their incredible value. Help us to see the value in our kids this week, to be present with them, to be present with our spouse this week, to be present with our friends this week, our roommates, to be present with the lady at the grocery store, our team on sports. Jesus, God, I just pray that we would be present and we would carry your presence with us, God, that people would know that we are your disciples by the way that we carry your gift to the world, Jesus. We just thank you. We thank you that you fill us when we ask. In your name, amen. Amen. God is so good. And when you, I mean, even that prayer I prayed, if there's a couple things this week, you know, if sometimes it's hard to know what to say when you're praying. Just use some of that language. Just God, you know what? I need you. I need you in a fresh way. And I'm just believing that I am going to be a life bringer today. Simple stuff that we can pray just to prepare us to meet with the world sometimes, which is a challenge. I get it. I live here too. If you guys just want to stand with me, and we are going to do a second prayer, and it's just a prayer for people who maybe haven't really experienced Jesus and the life that he has to offer, and maybe haven't experienced this unexplainable joy in trials and circumstance, trading our joy for sorrows, you know, beauty from ashes. That's all God stuff. That's stuff that we can't fabricate or work up. That is stuff that Jesus does through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so we are just going to believe with those who are saying, today I want to say yes to Jesus. That today is the day of salvation, which just means that now you're aligned with Jesus and your life is forever different. Yeah. So we're just going to pray that together. And those of you who know Jesus, just believe with me as we say these words, that people would take that step to following him and changing their reality. So let's pray together. You can repeat after me. Jesus, you are the greatest. And you came to my world. You came to be present with me. And I believe in what you have done. You have forgiven me. You have accepted me. You have given me joy in your presence. I confess that you are the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.